Welcome to Soul Chat, a platform created by queens, recognized queens, to help bring out the queen in you and helping you master yourself holistically. We aim to be the light at the end of the tunnel with topics and guests that speak to your soul. So join us as we take you on an epic journey with powerful people sharing powerful stories and tools to bring out the best in you. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another wonderful episode of Soul Chat. I am your host, Ebony Tatora, and today I have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful guest, and we are talking about one of the most taboo topics on the planet, okay? So make sure you have your headphones in. Make sure you're in a space where children are not around. Actually, let the children be around. Let them hear this conversation too, okay? Let them hear it too, because there's too many of us having this conversation in the closet. We need to bring it out. So I have a beautiful guest with me today who I met her from what I remember is through Kayla from Pretty Entrepreneur. Shout out to Pretty Entrepreneur. Shout out to Kayla. Love you forever and long time. So this guest, her name is Siobhan L. And she's a sex educator. And more than that, she's going to tell us all her titles, you know, but I do want to read a little bit about her. Her website is Say It With Sex. Like, yes, and you got to follow her. She's also on Instagram. We'll get to all that at the end, but it's just so juicy. Like, it's just so juicy. Okay, here we go. I'm just getting lost in the sauce. You see how this topic get people, right? To me, it makes me excited. So about her, she transmuted her pseudonym into my greatest passion. So I'm going to read it from her, the way the bio reads. My entry into eroticism started my written work as L.T. Robinson and evolved into intimacy and sex education. I created Say It With Sex as a medium to better understand the nuances and synchronicity of sex and spirituality. While embodying my own path of sexual expression, I uncovered how this energy and perspective affects as well as translates across every aspect of our lives. I desire to live a pleasure-filled life and want to help others do the same. My efforts are placed towards Black and Brown persons with vulvas and those who identify as feminine because I am she and fully understand the difficulty with embracing and standing firm in your sexual preference, expression, values, and beliefs. Our bodies are viewed as sex objects and resources of emulation, not conduits of sex energy. I seek to connect with the collective to destigmatize and redefine what sexual liberation looks like for us. It isn't always a nip slip. As a creative healer, I use these gifts as instruments to unpack our distorted sexual lens through content, a strong spiritual foundation, and other educational tools. Together as a community, we peel back the layers and learn our erotic language to better understand who we are in pleasure. Oh my God, that's just so juicy. Like, I feel like I gotta read it again. So thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for taking this time to be here today. As always, my first question to everybody is, who are you? Who are you in your own words?
So first of all, after you read that, I was like, oh my God, did I write that? I was like, damn, like, that chick sounds dope as hell. Wow.
It does. You did that, sis. Let's just clap for you real quick.
Thank you. Oh, wow. I was like, woo, I wrote that. Where did she find that? Oh my gosh. Yeah. who am I? Ooh, it's such a loaded question, but I think that's a great question to ask me now, because I couldn't answer that fully maybe a year or two ago because I was still trying to navigate that space, right? Mm-hmm. Because when you think about I am, right? And I know you do affirmation, so you know your affirmations start with I am. Mm-hmm. So when you say who you are, you're affirming that's who you be, that's who you is, right? Mm-hmm. And I've been so many other people beside myself that I got lost in all these different replications of who I should be and what would be palatable for other people. I got lost in that. Mm-hmm. And because I got lost in that, I couldn't find myself. So it took me a good 3 to 4 years to figure out who is Siobhan. Now, Siobhan L., now Siobhan Morris, which is my government name. Who is Siobhan? What does Siobhan stand for? What values and beliefs does Siobhan hold? What's the foundation of Siobhan and what she stands upon, right? So asking me who I am a medium. I have intuitive gifts that I finally fully embrace. It's not just, oh, you know, I'm kind of like psychic and not knowing. It's different to say that, you know things as opposed to being a medium, because that means you touch and agree with allowing yourself to be a conduit for the divine. That's what mediums are. Mediums are conduits. So I'm a medium in a psychic way, but also as a scholar and as a sage. So mediumship is very broad. So I've embraced the fact that I'm multifaceted in mediumship and learning and still navigating that, right? I'm embracing the fact that I am a scholar. Someone said that to me yesterday, and it's been sitting with me for the last 24 hours because I never looked at myself as a scholar, but I give scholarly information about sex, pleasure, and intimacy. But people don't see those different topics as scholarly things, because when we think about scholarship or anything that's scholarly, we think about academia. Mm-hmm. And all those different types of doctoral things and research and people with PhDs and studied for years, right? We focus on those more logic and reasoning things. But people who have studied sex, pleasure, intimacy, and eroticism are scholars in their own way. So I think now, as I'm reclaiming that title, as I'm embracing that title, I want to start to help us reimagine what scholarship looks like and how that has many different facets, right? So I'm a medium, I'm a scholar, I'm a Black woman. I identify as Black. I identify with my gender as a woman. And that's not to say that everyone else should, but that's just me. I identify with that. I identify with my femininity more so than my gender as a woman. So let me take a step back. I identify as being Black feminine with a vulva, outside of just womanhood or womanship or being womanly. I identify as Black feminine and with a vulva. I identify as a writer. I am a writer by craft. That is who I am. That is how I navigate the world through words, through language, through etymology. I love language. It's such a beautiful way to communicate with people. And I realize in my own journey that language is also multifaceted. Language is a spectrum. So people can say, I like language and think about words specifically, right? But runes are a language. Coding is a language. So there's different ways that our body is a language. There's different ways that we speak to one another. So I'm not a coder per se, but I love language, whether it's our erotic language, our love language, our body language, whether we're working with words. I'm a person of language. And that's where Save with Sex kind of falls in that space, because saying it with sex is using the type of language that resonates with you and that makes sense to you, and using that to express your sexual identity and your sexual energy, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Felt like I was broad, but.
No, broad isn't, you know, broad is necessary. And the reason why this has always been the first question that I ask is because I know my bio has changed. I can't even count anymore, okay? I don't mm-hmm. know. I don't know, and it'll probably change again a lot of times. So I always ask this question because I know we are so multifaceted and multidimensional, and the people who really get it know I could change tomorrow. I could have told you I was a sage today, and tomorrow I could be something totally different, and I'm perfectly okay with that. It's only you that's not okay with that. Like, yes. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. I love the question because people, you know, it gives people that chance to just, you know, define who you are, because a bio to some can be very intimidating, right? And it's like, oh, well, she's this and she has this award. And it's like, but at the core, when you ask somebody who they are, the answers are always very relatable. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like, take away the bio, it becomes very relatable. And I think that's why I love having these conversations. And even when I first started this podcast, to title it Soul Chat, because we're having conversations that are deeper than the surface. We're not entertaining the things that, you know, things that people don't want to talk about, specifically as sex. And when you look up the definition, it doesn't even give, you know, I guess you would have to probably look up intimacy, right? Mm-hmm. It actually mm-hmm. gives the definition. Let me read the definition, because I'm like, what?
It's gender.
It's just gender. That's it. But we use the word as a form of intercourse and intimacy, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. right? So I know there's probably a long history many of us do not know about sex. Can you share just a little bit of your story and just like how you began to discover like the erotica of it all and like really begin to embrace that? Because I don't, you know, was it like your upbringing? Did somebody expose you to that made you interested in it? Or was it in your own self-exploration that you were like, oh, I like this. This makes me feel like this lights me up. So do tell.
So my journey started through writing. That's why I say writing is who I am. Because I've learned many different parts and facets of myself through the means of writing. So I've always wanted to take a deep dive into erotic writing, erotic romance. I wrote my first erotic story when I was 16. It was called Seduction. I found it like years ago. I don't know where that story is now, but it was called Seduction. And it wasn't finished. And I was just amazed at my thought process at 16. And I know we always try to shy our teens and stuff away from embracing sex, but just me recognizing that I was a sexual being at 16. And if I had the right people to nurture that, I probably would have been here a lot quicker, but mm-hmm. our journey is our journey, right? Mm-hmm. So I got my start with sex through writing and just exploring my own fantasies in my mind and how I could translate what I experienced in my mind on paper. And I just began to really shape how I could paint pictures with words. And I became fully immersed in writing erotica in 2009. I had 11 different pen names. It was like Vonnie Sweet, then it was like something else. And I ended up sticking with LT Robinson. And years later, started out doing erotic poetry and then stories. And then in that journey, 2014, published my first erotic novel. And at some point, I'm probably going to republish it. But that was like my greatest accomplishment. One, I didn't think I could write long form in that way. And two, I felt like I finally mastered entering the world of sex writing or writing erotica, or writing erotic romance. And in the midst of that, trying to understand publishing and putting myself out there, I took to social media trying to market my book. That's how I got into social media. I took to social media trying to market my book and market myself as a writer. And in the midst of that journey, I found social media as a way to express myself. Mm-hmm. So I just continued taking deep dives, using social media as a means to express myself, my poetry. I started to connect with other writers who were writing erotica. And at the time I was a developmental editor. So I was working with other authors who had not specific erotic writings, but had other type of writings. They were doing young adult writing, urban romance. And I realized their sex scenes were trash. I'm comfortable saying that at this point in my life. Their sex scenes were pure trash. And I was like, okay, how are they saying it with sex? How this is the birth to say it was sex. How are they saying it was sex? Let me create this 5-hour intensive on anatomy, words, how to use words to describe anatomy, how to steer away from food descriptions, especially when you're writing about Black people, because we're fetishized and romanticized and food is used to describe us, and it makes it seem as if we are always up for consumption as opposed to being embraced and exalted in our beauty. Mm-hmm. So I had this whole thing created, and as I started to put it together, I realized people write from where they are. So if you've experienced any type of sexual trauma, if you've had any type of horrible experiences, then you're going to write based on that. So then I was like, wait, now it's who are you in sex? Now we got to start from the beginning. Who are you in sex? And how does who you are in sex translate across every aspect of your life? So then I just started taking a step back and started unlocking the foundation. So when I did what you did and looked up the definition of sex, I was like, well, intercourse is not even included there. It's talking about gender. So we're not even using sex in the correct way, right? So now we're talking about language. So in the midst of that, I said to myself, why don't I just be my own case study? And here's the power of words. When I said I was going to be my own case study, I never imagined this would happen. I never imagined Say It With Sex would evolve into this. I never imagined that by me sharing my own journey to pleasure, my own journey in eroticism, my own journey into embracing my sexual identity, I never imagined that I would amass such a large community of people who were either sharing a similar path or looking to explore this path. Mm-hmm. What has evolved now is way beyond my imagination. And when we say things like, let me be my own case study, or I want to manifest, quote unquote, manifest this, or I want to be this, what you don't know, or what we don't realize often, is that as we are saying these things and we are repeating them in conversation and we're saying them in many different ways and in many different facets, that as we continue to push that out into the universe is co-creating this experience with us. Mm-hmm. And if we are not paying attention, what we ask for is going to manifest over time and we'll miss it. And I'm glad I woke up at some point to realize, oh shit, this is what I asked for. Mm-hmm. It's not particularly the way that I expected it to be, but this is exactly what I asked for. I became my own case study to the point where I got so comfortable in my plushy and fluffiness to be on Instagram with billions of people on this app in lingerie. Hmm. I gain enough comfort to do that. Mm-hmm. That's a different type of confidence and comfort that you have to put yourself out there for public consumption, for people to see you, to reveal yourself in such an intimate way, to invite people into those type of intimate moments. That's a different type of confidence that you have to do that. And this journey, because as much as I have been sharing and teaching with the community, I also learned from them. So it is an equal exchange. I may be the mastermind, but I am not the person that's just outputting, right? I take, I receive, I allow myself to receive. Mm-hmm. I think that's important when we're on journeys like this, especially if you're positioning yourself as an authority and as an expert of something. You have to be willing to be the student as well as the teacher, and also learn from your community. So
yes,
that's been my journey.
Yeah, and I think that makes amazing teachers. Honestly, I think that if you have that understanding, is just, that's the flow of life, right? Mm-hmm. That's just the flow of life. I think that's very natural. And I love so much of what you said, really, about becoming your own case study and your confidence. You know, like I'm a confidence you know, I have like a confidence barometer where I can look, you know, I think many can, but, you know, I can really look at someone and see, you know, with that post with lingerie, that's just, it's so pure and innocent, and it's not for attention. It's for, to indulge us in the experience of what something looks like, right? Because you don't know really what something looks like. And so sometimes you need an example, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. it's like when I share with people, like I rub my feet, like I'm really intimate with my feet, and I love on them. It's like one of my rituals, right? So, you know, it's just like sharing that with people. They're like, really? I never thought of that. I know, you know? So I love that post. I love all of them. And really too, you know, as we're dissecting, I think people should really dissect all language, right? Because I think you mentioned etymology, which is, for those that don't know, it's the study of language and the breakdown of like what words actually mean. And the English language, out of all languages, is one of the main languages where a lot of our words are actually saying things backwards. So I'll give an example mm-hmm. of coincidence, right? You're like, oh my God, that's such a coincidence. But it's like you learn in math that the coinciding angles touch. Right? So coincidence really means it's meant to happen. But when we say it, we're saying it like, oh my God, I'm so surprised that that happened. And it's like, you know, understand, do you understand me? Like all these different words. That's why you always see like the woke people like, I understand you, queen. I understand, you know, mm-hmm. I overstand mm-hmm. you, you know? So, you know, it's just amazing to really look at the word sex. And I feel like your work is really liberating us, really, because at the core of spirit, why are we so ashamed? Why have we been made so ashamed of sex? Why have we been made so ashamed of the way that originates the human form? You know what I'm saying? Just feeling so much guilt and shame. Like, you know, I'll be perfectly honest. Like I probably started masturbating at like 16 because I had an older boyfriend who just was like, sis, get your masturbation on, right? And, you know, it was something I talked to my girlfriends about. And I noticed that over years, it would be something that was like in my mind. It's not like I didn't mind doing it. I didn't, you know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? You know, yeah. And I'm totally open to toys, like all those things, not wholeheartedly, because I like the real thing, like the real, real skin to skin, you know?
I get it.
You get it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I guess I noticed that even within me, I was feeling like this shame or like guilty about it. Like if I had a partner and, you know, I still did that, you know, but it's like, I feel like men could talk about it so easy and just like, they could have a girlfriend and be like, yeah, I just totally masturbated. You know what I'm saying? And like, it's whatever. But I feel like as women, and especially in our culture, I've always seen, you know, just how we have all these like distorted beliefs. It's like you doing that on social media, you know, there's that one person that's just like, ugh. Like, how dare she? Mm-hmm. You never say nothing when you walk past Victoria's Secret and them women are half naked with lace bralettes on. You never say nothing when the Victoria's Secret commercial comes on. What do you think men use? And I've heard men use that magazine in jail to get through. They don't even need, you know,
exactly
the Playboys. They're like, give me a Victoria's Secret catalog and I'm Gucci. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's so interesting that as a culture, you know, we have allowed ourselves to be lulled to sleep on the thing that makes you, the thing that makes human life form come to pass. So I've always found that so interesting. And all that you do, is that kind of the basis of you, like, is that like the ammunition of your teaching and like really helping people explore and honor and like hone in on their sexuality? Because even as a mom, like probably within the past year as a mom, as well as a newly co-parenting mom, like sexuality is how I've been able to like get back in touch with myself. Like going to the store, buying lingerie for myself, not because I want to put it on for some dude, but because like I like the way I look in it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. So
is that one of your like ammunitions of like teaching people and helping them to rediscover that? And what is your opinion on like how our mindset has come to a place where we are so ashamed of it? And it's kind of like that thing that you like keep in the closet, and we shame each other, especially as women. We will shame another mm-hmm. woman. Well, we're worse than men. We talk about men all the time. But we will be the first ones like, ugh, how dare she get on social media? She's just thirsty for attention. Like, how dare she? You know, and it's like, no, like, I love seeing people do their thing. I really do. I really do. Same. So I know that was like three questions in one. So the first one is that your drive to keep informing us is the fact that we have such a distorted view? And I forgot the second question, but we'll just let it flow from there.
No, it's perfectly fine. But yes. I like that you said started with the mind, because a lot of my writing, so before I took a deep dive into Save the Sex, I was just Siobhan L, the spiritualist. And even in that, my goal was to provide perspective. And it's so interesting that you asked me this question, because my mom and I were talking about what I do, and she's still finding her comfort with it. And I understand the discomfort, because it's like, it's your daughter, and your titties are on Instagram. Like, what are you doing? So I'm not like completely, you know, nude, but still like, there's a lot of cleavage and a lot of things.
Still, when you look at older statues, they are naked.
They are naked, but see, people see that as art. People don't see the living flesh. It's weird. It's very weird how people can see, well, that's a sculpture and they were posing for that, and not see the body in itself and its in all of its splendor and its glory as art, because our naked bodies, whether they're sculpted or not, we're art. That is, we are shaped individually, uniquely. We are all not, we're not a one size fit all group of people. The human body is so multifaceted, and in particular, the female body is the most complex body on this earth. Of course it is art. Like, there's so many things about our body as women, as vulva owners, that still have yet to be discovered. So in that instance, I try to bring perspective, because in order for someone to fully embrace sex, pleasure, intimacy, and eroticism, they have to have perspective. They have to have an open mind. So a lot of the work I do is really about opening the mind. And I don't need you to be like, oh my God, I just woke up and, you know, the world, everything is spinning. Like, not that, because if I do that to you, then the resistance is going to be greater. So I'm very strategic about what I do. It's nuggets, little small nuggets, palatable nuggets, things that allow you to do your own self work, your own self mind mapping. I just provide nuggets, but it's small nuggets over the course of time. So by the time you've been into the Save the Sex universe or the Siobhan L universe for at least 3 weeks, you don't already shifted your perspective. You just don't realize you did. But now that you're starting to have more open conversations, you're starting to talk about sex in a different way. You're starting to use your words differently. And this isn't to say that you're using my words, but you're realizing those words that you used to use don't quite fit in your lexicon anymore. So now you just go out and find new ways to say things. So that's the mind shift. Like, I don't beat people over the head, because lately a lot of women and femmes have been on, like, we're all awakening at the same time. So everyone's kind of coming into their own unique superpowers at the same time. And they're like, oh, I got this superpower. Boom, I'm gonna go on social and say, girl, you need to da 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 da. And I'm wagging my finger and I'm doing all this stuff. And it's like, I see you, sis, but I need you to sit with all of the information that you are being given first, and then figure out what's your voice. And how do you tell that information to other people? So I see it happening a lot, people being beat over the head with things. So I'm very gentle with it, but I have to be, because I know what it feels like to be in a space where now you're unlearning everything you learned. It took me a while to get here, and I was here in parts. So mind shift is the number one focus in what I do. I have to shift your mind first. I have to create a nice ground, a new foundation. I have to smooth things out. I have to when we're looking at the horizon, I have to say, I know you see this in your tunnel vision, but just angle your head to the left. You see that? Look at that over there. I have to do that because there's no way that I can introduce these quote unquote wild, taboo, unspoken concepts, especially relating sex and spirituality. See, it's different, right? You hear a lot of people talking about sex. They talk about sex, sex tech, using toys, intimacy. But now I'm telling you to see sex as an energy, as a frequency that you can utilize to actualize and magnetize any and everything you want that's spiritual. Mm-hmm. That's different. I'm asking you to pray for pleasure. That was controversial. When I said pray for pleasure, controversial. It's hard for people to relate pleasure and prayer together. But sex, sexual intercourse, our intimacy is a holy act because intimacy is just closeness.
Right.
That's it. Being intimate is simply closeness. It's small. Intimate is small. Intimacy isn't just touch, but it's the relationship between you and touch. That's different, right? So now what I'm doing is I'm taking words at face value and saying, no, this is actually what it is. I know over time, we fashioned it to be this array of things, but that just like how you broke down coincidence. Like, I know we say coincidence is this, but this is actually what coincidence means. I know we say sex, but we're talking about intercourse. I know we say intimacy, but it's not just you being snuggled up with somebody. Intimacy is something that you experience with yourself. I know we talk about pleasure, but pleasure is more than just how you feel during intercourse. Pleasure is what you experience. It's a frequency that you can repeat over time. I know we're talking about sensuality, but sensuality isn't just you putting on your lingerie. Sensuality is sensory. What other ways can you experience it? So I'm talking about sex, but I'm talking about it in a different way. I'm talking about it in a nuanced way. I'm not just giving you tips on how to ride cowgirl and Kegels and all that, because I mean, I could talk about that stuff, but that's not really my lane. I could point you in the direction of people who have the best practices and how to do all of those things. But what I'm trying to get you to understand is that before you even think about getting on top of someone, have you even checked in to the fact that you like that? Do you even like being on top? Do you like being the aggressor? Maybe you want to be owned. Maybe penetrative sex is not what you like. Maybe you like oral or femoral. Maybe you just like your nips sucked and you kind of engage in penetrative sex because that's what people tell you that you're supposed to do. But maybe your point of orgasm is through touch in other ways and feeling comfortable with that, mm-hmm, and feeling okay with that. So yes, it starts in the mind, starts with the mind, it starts with perspective. Those are ways that I'm utilizing what I say and what I do, because if I don't build a foundation first, it doesn't matter what I say. You're not going to be receptive to it. But then I also have to catch you when you're receptive. So maybe I got to give you a little bit of lingerie. So you can be like, oh, okay, this is what she do, da, 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 da. And then when I hit you with pleasure is present, then you go, oh shit, what do you mean pleasure is present? And not just pleasure is present, pleasure is a present. So your pleasure is a gift, but it requires you to be present in order to experience the gift. So when I say stuff like that, you're already so in tune because you done seen all these tetas and everything else that I done gave you. So now you're in tune. So when I say that, I got your attention. Because I need you to be focused so you can get what you need.
Yeah, and it's, I want to say back to you, you said you do it in a very nuanced way. I would rather say you do it in a natural way, right? Because it sex and spirituality are natural. Again, we are talking about something that is the creation between, you know, two people that makes human life forms. So yeah. it is really a shame. We should be ashamed that we neglect it so much. We should be ashamed that we don't discover it more, right? Because it's like, that's how we've gotten here. And yes, there are a large number of people who have been sexually traumatized. Yes, you know, there's all these scenarios out there. But like you said, like knowing what you like, knowing what works for you, knowing what turns you on, being open to just exploring that realm. We are sexual beings. Mm-hmm. We are sexual beings. And the fact that we hide portions of ourselves really is, this is what creates so much discomfort and, you know, shadow sides. And like, this is what creates, you know, us doing exactly what you said, where you lose yourself. I'm mm-hmm. sure so many people listening to this right now can relate to that. Like, I don't know who I am. I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what my voice is. And there's no, to me, there's no other feeling other than that. That is like, that's the type of feeling that I felt, you know, I've totally felt. And that's the feeling where you feel like, well, why am I even here on this earth? Because I don't get it yet, right? That's a feeling that could lead you to jump off a bridge, okay? Because you don't know. And if you don't have enough people cultivating your skill, or people who you can relate to or look up to, you know, a lot of times our journeys can feel very lonely and very isolated. So I honor you for just following that passion, because you are liberating so many people. People don't understand. Sex is liberating.
It is.
It is so liberating to do what you like to do, to touch yourself, to experience pleasure, you know. And I just was having a conversation with the client earlier, and we were talking about, you know, just how our mindsets and our beliefs get formed, and how we start to build these fences and these walls because of, you know, the disrespect, you know. So she's a taller woman. I mean, her essence is like goddess, and not to mention on top of that, she's like 6'2". So she's like, oh, you know, pretty, yes, all the good stuff, right? So she her experience is that, you know, a lot of men would violate her space. So and even as a young girl, like whether they were trying to touch her, she told me about a whole experience where this boy was like trying to touch her butt, and she's running and she got hit by a car. She wasn't hurt, seriously injured, but that's an experience, you know? And then she admitted, like, you know, this is why I started to hide myself. And eventually she became Muslim, but she's like, she's no longer Muslim, but, you know, she's like, this is why I began to hide myself, because of the experiences that I felt violated. And then we connected where I said, think about how many times as women that we think that our vagina is the only thing we have to offer. That's all that I have. And that's the only thing that makes me unique, right? You know, because we were having just a conversation about, you know, as you get older, you have kids, there's all these things we think in our mind of why we're not worthy of the type of people we desire to love, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm saying to her, you know, you go on Instagram, you see all these other beautiful people doing these different things and in their whatever, however they're dressed, right? In our minds, if you're not confident, you know, because I don't necessarily think like this, but, you know, you're comparing yourself to them and you're thinking, well, what do I have to offer? Because that was her position. What do I have to offer? We had to jump on like an emergency call. Like, can we just break some things down real quick? Like, just stop. Just stop. And she sent me something. I'm like, girl, just stop. Let's just break this thought process down so we could get rid of it. Because like you, when we first got on, you are an essence. So whether you look dolled up to the gods or dolled down in the moo moo, like, it don't matter. And first of all, I saw a post that said the moo moo was getting all the bills paid. Your granddaddy was paying all the bills with that when grandma had that
for
on
real.
Your lingerie sis. Okay.
For real.
But it's like the essence of who we are. And as women, I think we really have to, you know, you and I both know this in the healing space of things, is that we have to start embracing these shadow uncomfortable parts. And sex is one of those things. It's a shame that it's taboo. Like, that's how y'all got here. Your parents were not artificially inseminated. I'm sorry. Like, wake up. They were not, nobody was using turkey basters to get there. That's not a form of how we all got here. I can understand if that's how the culture was. And we all are just like, yeah, you a transplant baby, right? Like, your mom used the turkey baster, right? And intercourse wasn't a thing, but that's how we all got here with the dog, with the nasty. And it, even the fact that we call it that, nasty, it's nasty. And the words we use to describe it, you know, I think you're doing such a beautiful thing to change the narrative. And the reason why I wanted you on at this space and this time is because so many people are awakening. And I want them to hear conversations that shift the narrative. That's my biggest point in life. And I know that's why I'm sitting here too. Just look over here, sis. We all on the same bus. You over here looking out the window where it's raining and cloudy, but all you got to do is look over here on this side of the bus. Just come over here. Mm-hmm. It's a simple shift so that you can say, you know what? I like touching myself. And how should you, how can you teach someone what you like if you don't know that?
This is very true.
You don't know your body, you know? Very true. Like, what you're doing is just liberating so many people. It's been an honor to see you grow. It's been an honor to just, I think it's because we are ready now. That's why I think.
Yeah.
You're gonna go so far with it because we're ready. A lot of people are ready. We're tired of hiding and shaming ourselves for like sleeping with people because we wanted to. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like you wanted to, they wanted to. Why are we shaming ourselves after the experience? Why are we feeling? Why are we letting society dictate what the hell our wombs do and our vaginas do, our vulvas do? I don't even know. I'm probably not even using the right words right now. You know, please. I'm signing up for your Patreon, by the way. So I'm gonna let y'all know how to connect with her, by the way. But I'm definitely signing up for your Patreon because I personally, like I said, I've been in this space where, you know, I want to explore all facets of myself. I'm not gonna sit here and act like sex is not a bad thing. I've never looked at it as a bad thing, but in my own healing, I have realized ways in which I've suppressed myself and ways in which I didn't allow myself to be the sexual being that I want to be. And I have, you know, and I have too, but you know, it's kind of like, I only pull her out sometimes, you know? And it's like, that I think anytime we do that in any way, not just sex, in any way, whether that's using your voice, your purpose, whatever, like being the whole you, to me is so fulfilling. It's just so liberating to be like, this is who I am, and I just don't care what anybody thinks. And I think that's why you're so magnetizing, and I love watching your page. And it's people front, I don't know if people really report your page or anything, but it's like
they do
just mm-hmm. Come on, people, stop it. Okay. It's like, it's so enticing, and it's a shame. I'm just using this word. We should be ashamed of ourselves that we are ashamed of our bodies. We are ashamed of our bodies, our having sex. It's like, that's how far removed we are. So when we talk about mind, body, soul connection, I think people really need to start looking at sex. Like you said, how are you, you know, with sex? And really, you can look at how that translates to the rest of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? You touched on so many things here, right? So first, I wanted to catch the part with you and your client. I related to that a lot because I was actually opposite. So I'm not, my booty ain't all that big, but I've been busty since I was 9. And because of that, I was very uncomfortable with, so this is my journey. So I was very uncomfortable with my breasts, and I actually dumbed myself down. So I would wear really baggy clothes. I would kind of cover myself up. I got called conceited a lot when I was younger. I'm not even that light, but like light skin thing, and people just assume that you're already conceited. It's weird. Like colorism in the Black community is just right, between just dark skin and light. Yeah, between dark skin and light skin, like it's just weird, and it's out of control. But people used to think I was conceited. So I thought because I was pretty that people assumed that when I was younger. So what I did was I just kind of dumbed myself down. So I wouldn't dress up a lot. I would wear baggy clothes. I would, you know, cover my breasts up a lot, cover my boobs up a lot. I didn't want nobody to see me. Like if people saw like saw me lead with like my breasts first, I would kind of like shrink down to the point where where I'm in yoga trying to lengthen my spine because I've shrank myself so much that I have to do spine alignment to actually lengthen my spine. So I thought I was 5'3" all my life. I'm actually 5'5". That's how much I shrank myself. Mm-hmm. So to go from that place where I covered myself to now being in full lingerie with just, you know, my boobs in full bloom, like that's a huge step for me. So I wanted to touch on that because often when we are experiencing things that make us less confident with ourselves or less traumatic over time, because now I'm really understanding what manifestation means. So we speak of manifestation in the present, like we say something and it's supposed to manifest like right then. It's an elongated process. So it's just manifestation is just small things that you do over time that actualize in real time, right? So over time, me covering myself up manifested to me shrinking, to me being in the shadows, to me hiding my sexuality, me hiding the fact that I liked sex, that I liked having conversations about sex, and to almost leading this double life, which is why it took me so long to get to this place. So for anyone who is listening, the key to beginning to embrace yourself and sex is to simply acknowledge that you like it. Because if you acknowledge that you like it and that's who you are, and you work towards accepting that you like it and that is who you are, over time, you'll feel comfortable embodying it. Because people talk about embodiment a lot, but in order for you to embody anything, you have to accept that that thing that you are trying to embody actually exists within you. So you have to accept that sex energy, the energy of sex, the essence of sex exists within you. And that it's not just for having physical children. Sex also includes having figurative children, whether you are an ideation, whether you are an artist, whether you are a singer, whether you are a writer, whether you build things, that is your sex energy.
Yeah, your creative spirit.
It's your creative energy, right? Mm-hmm. So recognizing that part of sex, then as you're using it to create intimate moments with someone else, to exchange energy with someone else, when you recognize that that is another facet of the way you can use this energy called sex, you can then start to shift your mind from just being, ew, sex is nasty, to, ooh, sex is this fluid type of thing that I can use in many different ways. Because the reason why people feel shameful about sex is because our programming has made us look at sex in a linear way. That's just the programming we have. So for you and I, it's like, what do you mean? I don't understand why you think this is shameful, because we've deprogrammed ourselves in many different ways. So even if you haven't deprogrammed yourself from a sexual perspective, if you've deprogrammed yourself spiritually, me talking to you or even you talking to someone about sex, it's easier to be consumed or is digestible because you've already started deprogramming yourself. So it's where you start to kind of unlearn some of the things that you've been taught that don't make sense, that allows you to embrace these other ideas of thought. Mm-hmm. So just people feel shameful about sex because it's all in the programming. So now we have to help people we can't deprogram them, but we can give them the information that they can utilize so that they can do that process on their own and be of support, just like your client. You had to deprogram her, right? So the other part that I wanted to touch on was her doing the comparison thing. I used to do that. I used to compare myself to other people and ask myself, well, why can't I do that? And then I had to respond back to that question and say, well, why can't you? Who told you you couldn't?
Right.
I told myself I couldn't. That was a self-fulfilling prophecy that I created in my mind. Mm-hmm. And what I was looking at across social media and other different facets of my life were people mirroring parts of myself that I had suppressed because I was afraid to embody. I was afraid to accept that I was this vibrant goddess essence of a being. I was afraid to accept that because I thought if I accepted it, then I would be too big. And if I was too big, then people would ridicule me and ask me, why am I being so big? But that had nothing to do with me. That had everything to do with everyone else who was trying to question my grandness. Because if you are grand, then you just be grand. Like the sun is grand. The sun doesn't ask permission to shine light in your eye. The sun just shines the light in your eye. The moon doesn't ask permission to shine the light and illuminate the midnight sky. It just does that. So people, other human beings have told us that we have to ask permission from them in order to be grand. That's the programming. That's a lie. Mm-hmm. We don't have to ask that. So it's when that happens, if for anyone who's listening, when you see people who do things that you want to do, that is the universe showing you the mirror of who you actually are and reminding you that you can go do that. You just have to give yourself consent in order to do that.
That is so crazy you said that. For the past 2 to 3 days in meditation, my prompt to people was, and a woman in England was like, can you break it down for me? I don't know. I don't understand. And it sounds really good. Like me and her message each other all the time. And I just love her accent, like the things that she said. That's why I love social media, because it's such a beautiful thing to connect with people from all over. Mm-hmm. And my prompt was, ask yourself today, what do you give yourself permission to do, to be, to see, to feel? Because that, I remember one day journaling, right? And this is where it really started. I was like, oh shit, like this list got a real long, real quick. I started with one thing. I said, I give myself permission to, and I couldn't stop writing. I was just like, I give myself permission to this. I give myself permission to this. And I had to really sit back and like, damn, how many times am I waiting on the approval of other people? Or, you know, and not only are we waiting, but it's really unconscious. And it also plays off of like their limiting beliefs, right? Like I had someone say to me, you make the being a single mother look so cute. Like you need to stop. And I'm like, I'm having a whole lot of fucking fun. So I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Like, I'm having fun. And I want people to know and to see that you can experience anything in life and still be fucking happy.
Exactly.
I'm not going to fall into some, no, I need to do this, or because I'm a mother, I can't do like a semi-nude photo shoot, or because I'm a mom, I must do whatever. Like, you know, I definitely model certain things to my kids. You know, there's certain things that I say for when they're not around, right? Because I think that's appropriate for their age, but better believe when they grow up, it's fair game. Like, since you're 21, let's go. Like, what you want to know? 18, whatever age that I feel that I can tell they're mature enough to understand what I'm saying. But we still have conversations. We laugh about it all the time when they talk about where the babies come from. You know, I play into their little month. I'm like storks. But although we've even had the discussion of the reality of really what it is. You know what I'm saying? But I still play with them because I know they're still tiny and they still believe in fairies, and we call the tooth fairy and we do stuff like that. That's they believe in, you know? So I still be like, yeah, they come, you know, the storks come and I'll create a whole story. And again, creating visuals with words. It's just really fun with kids to do that. But we don't realize unconsciously that we prohibit ourselves from expansion, which is natural. Expansion and growth is natural. You don't stay 2 forever, but you could. You don't stay 5 forever, but you could. You don't stay 12 forever, but you could. And I started thinking about this as I kept thinking, people always saying, don't shrink yourself. Don't shrink yourself. Don't shrink yourself. When you shrink, you literally go back to those places in your life where you're like, oh shoot, I got to shrink. Because when I was 12, like my boobs were like too intimidating to everyone else. So I shrink in that moment, right? And it's like, this is why sex is so liberating, because it is the nature of who we are. It is the nature of, it is just the foundation. And when people begin to liberate themselves, and I mean, I'm sure you've heard it too, in working with people, like the stories I've heard of just sexual trauma, or just like somebody imposing their sexual beliefs on somebody else unwillingly, really messes people up to the, I mean, just like where they'll just stop doing certain things, or they'll be so afraid to do this, or the level of shame and guilt they carry is just, it debilitates them at some point. And then they come and they're working with me and I'm like, sis, you can really unblock this by one action, like doing that opposite thing. So like for you, getting a better vocabulary, right? You know, I'm sure there's levels to this, which I'm joining the Patreon, but you know, whatever, like whatever you're teaching as far as the language, the like the sensuality. And I wish I would have talked to you before I released this video, because I'm sitting here like, damn, Eb, that was not a full scope conversation. So I had released the video when WAP came out, and the video was WAP is not femininity. And the reason why I said that, now I really want to take it back and create a full circle conversation, was because I believe that in videos like that and in songs like that, it's more of an objectifying opposed to education, right? For grown women, we get it, okay? But for the women that let their children listen to it, their 5 or 6 year olds listen to it, the perception that they're going to get about sex and sexuality may not be healthy. And this is just an assumption. But I mean, I know that when I was in health class, I had someone literally call me from family planning the other day. They were doing a survey. I'm a part of this committee. And they were asking me different questions about sex and sexuality. Like, what was sex education for you? And I'm like, I literally remember them showing a penis and being like, this is how you put a condom on. This is a vagina. It was so like basic. And you don't even get like, you don't even get the emotional part of it. Cause some people can have sex and be like, wham, bam, thank you, man. Have a good day. Some people you can't put yourself in that predicament because you get too attached. Once you have sex with somebody, you are attached. You're like, I love you. Even if I don't love you, I love you. You know, we're together. Right. Because you're, that part for you is very, that's it means more to you than it might mean to someone else. Okay. You know, so it's like, I really wish I would have talked to you before doing that video, because I think there's a full scope of femininity and sexuality, specifically femininity. Cause I think we associate certain things with like the very tiny viewpoint of like what it really is. Right. So people look at femininity as in like, you showing more cleavage, you being more sexual, when femininity could be the way you say something to someone and being more gentle and soft with yourself, even just with yourself, right? And it's just, I'm sure we could talk about that all day. But as you were talking, I was like, damn, I wish I would have talked to her before I released that video. And my point behind it was, you know, it was more of this like things being objectified, that I feel like it's not always in a way that, you know, you look at there's other videos that did the same thing, like a Janet video, or like them school videos, like Sade with the silk sheets and different things. And I feel like that to me was feminine. That was feminine and sensual, opposed to, I feel like sometimes certain music is just like the low base level of the experience, and it doesn't really embody like the depth of what sex really is. It is a communion. It's a holy communion.
It is. That would have been an interesting conversation if we had talked before that. One, because it's my belief that femininity lives on a spectrum. So I feel like WAP is probably like the far right.
Yes.
And something like a Sade is like the far left. Right. So there's room for it. But I think our interpretation of what that embodies varies, and it's different for everybody. So really just kind of not dissecting it too much, but kind of just peeling back a layer of why someone would exalt WAP, because I love WAP. Like, I loved it. I thought it was amazing. And that's why I started doing the sensual snippets. Because there's this misconception that WAP type of music, or that WAP type of aesthetic, is all women are just now starting to do this, and this is just low bass and da 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 da. And it's like, nah, that's why I dropped Lucille Bogey. That's 1936. She said, I got a big broad ass, big fat titties, and I could fuck any man with with class, 1936, blues. So this is on brand, actually. This is on brand for Black women. This is on brand, right? But I think it's, as history tends to repeat itself, I think what people find less attractive is who is giving out that information and how it's being consumed. Mm-hmm. And because we exalt collectively as a race of humans, we collectively exalt celebrities and put them on this high pedestal, and we project our standards on them, what we think they should be doing as public figures, right, and creating music and doing these things. Right. And if they don't mimic how we think they should be presenting themselves to the public eye, with our children seeing them, looking up to them, mimicking them, then it's like, oh no, you're doing whatever you think you're doing. No, it's looking like this, like, no, you can't do this, you can't do that. But they didn't become artists to be role models. They became artists because they had a point of view, or they became artists because it was an opportunity for them to make money off of something that they enjoy or that they want to capitalize. So they entered this industry and they talk about these things because there's a market of people who wants that.
I almost want to just, like, you know, acknowledge, like, I almost feel like in that moment, so there, it was multifaceted, you know, I really put it out there to be controversial and just to have a discussion about it. And Cardi B did acknowledge, like, if your 6-year-olds are listening to it, that's you as a mom, sis. Like, don't come at me, which I know as a mom, you know, I have, you know, there's certain things that are not for my baby's ears, and there's certain things that I let them hear, however, because I'm like.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. Right. And I think, you know, I almost feel like, damn, Ev, you know, it almost in a way feels like I might have shamed them in a way. I think the biggest thing was the narrative. There was one specific clip where there was I can't even think of her name, but she was on a panel with Cardi B. It was an Apple actually hosted it, which was very surprising as a platform for them to host this discussion. But she just was like, you know, WAP, I think you saw her. She's like, WAP is liberating a lot of hoes. And, you know, she was like, fuck all you self-respecting ass hoes. You're like, if you fucking and sucking, but you ain't getting paid for it. You know, she's got valid points. Okay. You know, but again, I think let's just acknowledge that as women, and really, like you said, femininity is on a scale, right? Because that is femininity, right? That is femininity too. I think you made a great point in saying what we do to celebrities and how we have all these expectations. And I think that pressure is insane. This is why I believe they do what they do, like so many of them, be it on drugs or like the way they act, like Kanye, for example. He's one example where I'm like, I could not imagine leaving my house all the time and just being photoed and like at some point I'm a flip out. You know, how many times did you think you just want your privacy and your peace? You can't go nowhere because of the expectations and the views that everybody has of you that, you know, you kind of just, you start losing on people. So I get it. But I love that you made those points because it really makes me probably want to unlist that video, you know, because I know that these discussions are needed. So we are touching on the full spectrum, right? I think in order for us to evolve, we have to touch on the full spectrum of all of it, right? Like love it, like healing and being an enlightened person is like, I can be enlightened and still say, try Jesus, not me. Okay.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
correct.
Everybody knows. I was just saying this to somebody else the other day. I said, you know, it don't matter how enlightened anybody gets. If you are from the hood, we all know there's a line. There's a line. You don't
and step it's very over. Thin.
If you step over that line and you stand a little too close to me, you might get mushed. Okay, I don't care how ugly I am, okay?
Correct.
You know, so I think it's really important to give people, this is why there's certain people that I just love, and I'm like, I have to interview you, because I love people that are able to hold space for all the things. You know, I think when we're expanding, you have to consider all the things. Like, people don't feel comfortable to say God is light and darkness.
Correct.
That makes them feel like, oh, no, like it's the devil. And it's like,
folks, the devil, right.
You're giving him too much power. I get it. But it's like, I feel like when you, and even in the healing journey, you know, we all who are mastering ourselves to some level realize mm-hmm. we have to embrace the darkness in order to discover the light, right?
Absolutely.
It's only in embracing it, but we spend most of our lives running from it, running from the trauma, running from the times we had to shrink ourselves and hide our bodies and whatever beliefs we you know, pulled into ourselves and allowed it to overtake who we were. You know, that's just mm-hmm. that's just very valid. But I thank you for bringing up those points. I thank you for just honoring yourself, because I know it had to take a huge level of honoring yourself in order to step out to the world and give your all to the world and share pieces of yourself. Because I know I feel the same way, and just what I do, there's pieces that I share that I know yeah. behind the scenes people don't get to see the ugly part, but I try to show glimpses of things just so people get, like, we are so expansive that you have to consider it all. And just because you see pretty pictures and pretty things, don't think that the work does not take work, and it takes expansion. And just like you said, those small nuggets, like, sometimes you can't just lay it all out, but the small nuggets mm-hmm. are so important. And you also said something that's really beautiful, which is when you see people who are doing things that you would like to do, that is a universe mirroring to you a part of yourself. Because when people message me so many times, like, oh my god, and I'd be like, sister, I'm just your reflection.
I've said that so many times. Yes. I've said the same thing.
Yes.
I said the same thing.
Yes. And people need to hear it. People need to know, because then they begin to see their own grandeur, and they begin to, mm-hmm. I hope at the very least, acknowledge that part of themselves. Like, damn, yeah, like yeah. There's something I love about Emmy. I'm calling my daughter's name. Hi, Emmy. Ebony. And now that she said that to me, I know that that's a part of me. So what's in me that I'm holding back, that I'm not releasing, that I'm not being? And I think that's the beauty in being people, specific people who are sent here to help people expand and change their perspective, because it's just a beautiful thing to see people grow in that way. It just really is. Even for me to just be along on this journey with you and to see the different yeah. steps. And I think unknowingly, I didn't really realize the little changes, but I totally saw them. And, you know, obviously the more content you've been putting out and the things you've been sharing, I'm like, this is the time for this discussion right now, because sexuality, femininity, sex intercourse, all these words that have been, you know, in taboo are just really such, there's so much beauty to it.
Yeah.
There's so much beauty, and I there's so many people out there, and I'll say this last thing, that really deserve pleasure, mm-hmm. really deserve to experience it in such a healing way.
Yes.
It can be equally so healing.
Yes.
So healing. So I just want to end it with that. Is there any last thing you would want to share with my community about what you do, not just where to find you, we're not going to get there yet, but one last word or just word of advice you have for people out there that are really trying to not only find themselves, because that was deep, I know somebody resonated with that, but really just explore, like, their sexuality, their femininity, like all the gushiness of who we are.
Yes. Start small, right? So I tend to, because I'm a little bit in, not a little bit, I'm into astrology. So I have a Scorpio moon and a Uranus and Scorpio. So whoever is into astrology that's listening to you, they'll know what I'm talking about. So I'm a 12th house Scorpio with a Scorpio moon, Uranus and Scorpio, and Lilith and Scorpio. So I'm a very immersive type of person. I deep dive and go into all kinds of rabbit holes and everything. And I recognize that I tend to take all of this knowledge that I have and go boom and throw it at people and go deep dive with me. And everybody's like, nah, I'm not even trying to get my pinky toe in that yet, bitch. Like, wait a minute. Like, I ain't ready.
Me too, girl. Me too. I've been learning this. Everybody ain't ready, Ev. Take it slow.
Am I not ready? So I took a step back and I got this download, about a month or so ago, maybe 2 months ago, pleasure as a daily practice. And I woke up with that. It's like my people were talking to me and it was like pleasure as a daily practice. And it was just like, and I was like, wait a minute. And then I was like, okay, let me go on Clubhouse and talk about it. And I tried to go on Clubhouse and talk about it. And I didn't, as the downloads were coming, I was trying to talk about it and my words were all over the place. So I ended the room and I was like, okay, what are you trying to tell me? Pleasure as a daily practice and ways that you start to experience pleasure in a mindful way, in a sensual way, in an artistic way, in a playful way. Those are your gateways to pleasure. I have a course coming up soon. It's gonna come. But that's your gateway to pleasure. And you don't have to focus on one of those four gateways. You can mesh them together, you can mix them together. But pleasure as a daily practice. Last week I talked about mindful eating. Ooh. Are you tasting your food? Mm. Are you tasting the seasoning and finding pleasure in that? Even if you are a chef, if you're a home cook chef, however you do, finding pleasure and actually selecting the ingredients, selecting the menu, the process of cooking, plating your food, and eating your food. Pleasure as a daily practice. Those small steps that manifest over time. And when you start to understand how you, your body, your energy, your frequency, your vibration interacts with pleasure, and you start to define it for yourself, then you can expand into things like sex, mm-hmm. and sensuality and eroticism. But you start small. Something so simple as you're sipping your tea, tasting the herbs from the tea, setting an intention for this tea to soothe you, to calm you, to energize you, to refresh you, whatever your intention may be. Those small things, when you're in the shower, being mindful about the water hitting your body, how you're using your body wash, and whether you use a poof, a loofah, or a wash rag, or whatever you use to cleanse yourself. In your mind, you don't even have to say it out loud if you don't want to, but in your mind, setting this intention to feel and smell the body wash, whatever the scents are, immersing yourself into that as you're brushing your teeth, feeling the bristles on your gums clean, the particles and the bacteria away from your mouth. Things like that. That's pleasure. Mm. Pleasure isn't always sexual. Sex is one way to experience pleasure. That's
that's a little book. I could just see that as a little book. all these tips.
It's gonna be a class, Vitamin P for Pleasure. That's the class, Vitamin P for Pleasure. So this is an exclusive, Vitamin P for Pleasure. So look out for that. That is the class. And that is that's my biggest tip for you, for anyone who's listening. Think of how you experience pleasure and make that a daily practice. And even if it's not every hour, every minute, but at some point throughout the day, at least once a day, allow yourself to experience pleasure.
Yes.
Build a bridge.
It gave me the chills because literally before I got on here, I was just eating really slow. And I've been more intentional with that. Like the other day, I almost had an out-of-body experience where I felt like I was in a movie watching my hands move, but they weren't it was like, I'm like only people
remote viewing.
Like, but it was really out-of-body. And I ate really slow because I had fasted for 3 days where I didn't eat any food. So it just put me in a different space. So when I did finally make a meal, the first meal I ate, I did not make by myself because I was so hungry. And I was just like, I'm about to order something. I was like, I wish I didn't do that. But so the next day I actually cooked for myself, but I ate really slow. And it's just so interesting you said that, because in my journey of like, just like being Ebony and being back in the space of, you know, not with a spouse or anything, I've been in that space of like, do things slowly. and expand your awareness to the doing, opposed to just doing it because it's a ritual and it's a habit and you're like in robotic mode. You're just doing it. So I really love that. And I hope whoever's listening really ingest that and takes that in. But if you are ready for the sexual journey, please let us know where to follow you on Instagram. Let us know where to follow you. I know you have other things too, like the Patreon, which I'm so excited. I'll definitely be joining that tonight for sure. But let us know where to find you and just keep in touch with you, because I really know that what you're doing is so important for the people. We need you. Like, we wholeheartedly need you for our evolution. And you are an important part of the growth that many of us are going to achieve. And your words are so eloquent. Like, I can listen to you talk all day. Like, I really could. And this is a pretty long podcast. Typically, we're like top of the hour and we're done. But this was so good. This was just really informative. And like, this was pleasurable for me.
Yay. That makes me so happy.
Yes, I really loved this. I really loved you communing with me and chatting with my audience. But let us know, where can we find you?
So on Instagram, for now, at some point I'm going to be off platform. But for now on Instagram, you can find me at Say It With Sex. That's SayItWithSex. I had to take the E out. So SX. You can find me at Save the Sex on Instagram. If you want to, I'm getting back into the brand of Siobhan L. So that's also an option for anyone. Siobhan L on Twitter. That's SHAV as in Victor, AUGHN as in Nancy, ELLE, like the magazine. On Instagram, I'm also Siobhan L on Twitter, but I'm ratchet on Twitter. So if you want to see the ratchet part of myself, where I'm just wild and say whatever and retweet whatever and sit and talk whatever, you can definitely follow me on Twitter, because I'm absolutely ratchet on Twitter. You can find me. You can find me on Patreon. If anyone who would like to become a Patreon and subscribe, I actually have an erotic short that I have to upload today, tonight, for the second tier and above for Patreons. You can find me at patreon.com/sayitwithsex, and that has the E there, so Say It With S-E-X. Or, you know, if you're on Instagram, link in my bio, you can schedule a session with me. Anyone who's looking for any type of clarity coaching, thought partnership, I have a Discord channel, link in my bio on Instagram to get the invite for the Discord channel. I'm building that out, especially the Patreon. I'm building out and creating some good consistent programming for anyone who's there that's going to join, and sharing all my tips and thoughts and stories and things.
But, yes. Yeah. Yes, which is so needed. Thank you so much for your time. You all make sure you follow her. Obviously, per usual, I will put her information in the show notes so you can follow. If you've listened to this podcast and you found it informative, obviously you could support by going to Anchor and supporting monetarily or sending a love donation to the Cash App Heal and Thrive. But beyond that, the best payment you could ever give is sharing it with someone else. A lot of times we think we're alone on our journey, but there's so many people that need this information. So if you have found it informative, just find 5 people that you know on social media or in your private circle, whatever, and share it with them and let them know, listen to this podcast to liberate yourself around your mindset around sex, because this was very informative and expansive for me, and I know it probably was for you as well. So thank you so much for listening, y'all. Have a good day or night wherever you're at in the world. Lots of love. Thank you for tuning in to Soul Chat with your host, Ebony Tatora. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, leave a review, and if you love it, share it with your friends. And make sure you join us next week for another conversation with your soul, bringing you thought-provoking conversations that require you to look a little bit deeper than the surface.